Welcome to the Three Creeks Church Podcast. We exist to help people find and follow Jesus here in Gahanna, Ohio. For more information about our church, visit us online at threecreekschurch.com.
Well, good morning. Happy Father's Day to the dads out there. Somebody who many of you guys know who's on the teaching team here at Three Creeks, his name is Tyler Gorham. He's the funnier one, and he had a son this week named Jude on Tuesday, and so they're not here, but let's cheer very loudly for a little Jude Gorham. Man, I just feel like there are so many of us in here who have recently had the joy of having a kid, and so for those of you that are in the trenches as a dad, we just celebrate you today, and we're fired up that you get to do that, and so happy Father's Day. We're in James, and we're going to be here for the next little while, basically all summer. We're going to go through the whole book. James is one of the last books in your Bible. It's five chapters long. And James, if you remember, if you were here for the first week, James is the brother of Jesus. He literally grew up in a house with Jesus, and then later in his life, didn't believe in Jesus. And then after Jesus appeared to him, after he rose from the dead, James turned the corner, and he became the lead pastor of the first church ever in Jerusalem. I mean, he is a founding father, if you will, of the church, of Christianity. His name is all through the book of Acts and the New Testament epistles. He is a pillar in the first church, but all he wants you to know about him is that he's a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you look at James 1:1, that's what he says. He doesn't say brother of Jesus. He doesn't say lead pastor of the big church. He says James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And James writes this letter to the diaspora, or the diaspora, which in 44 AD, there was so much persecution going on in Jerusalem, people were beginning to be killed for believing in Jesus, and so they scattered. They dispersed through the whole region of the world, and now James is writing this letter to them, hoping that it will be copied and passed on. And if James were giving his letter kind of a summary title, it would say, "This is how to live the Christian life." Because all these people were scattered. They don't really have a pastor to guard them or guide them anymore. This is James acting as a pastor for them, saying, "This is how you walk the Christian life." And so over the next 8 or 9 weeks, we're going to talk about how to deal with temptation. We're going to talk about racism. We're going to talk about speech. We're going to talk about a huge verse in the Bible, a verse that says faith without works is dead. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about quarreling and money and pride and prayer. And James is going to give us practical advice. I can't think of a book of the Bible that is more practical than the book of James. I hope you can walk out of here today going, I can apply that to my life, because that was James's intent in writing this. He was saying, this is how you live the Christian life. One of the questions that James writes in this letter to all these people is a question that I want to ask you today, and it goes like this. James just asks it. Who is wise and understanding among you? James says, who is wise and understanding among you? Not who has the most IQ points. Not who has letters before or after their name because of the degree that you earned. Who is wise and understanding among you? You guys know there's a difference, right? Not who's the smartest person in the room. Not who's the most business savvy. Not who makes the most money. Not who has the most responsibility at work. Who is wise and understanding among you? Because you guys know that there's a difference, right? Not your ACT score, not your SAT score, not your MCAT score, not your GPA, not your brain IQ, not any of that. Who is wise in understanding among you? There's a difference. You guys know that, right? There's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. And James says, who is wise in understanding among you? We are going to face a gauntlet of decisions in our lives where we are going to seek to make the wise decision. And today I want to prepare you for that a little bit. A lot of us have kids, they're grown up, and we're weighing this, you know, do you go private school? Do you go public school? Do you go homeschool? And you start to make the list of the pros and cons in every category. And in that decision, I'm not going to stand up here and say there's a right or wrong answer. This is a right or left answer, and we need wisdom to make that decision. Some of you guys are ladies that are pregnant. You're going to have your first baby. You've been working, and now you're trying to make the decision. Am I going to keep working, or am I going to stay at home with my kids? There is not a right or wrong decision, but there is a decision that you have to make, and you need wisdom to make that decision. Maybe you have a job and another job comes along that's a little bit riskier. Maybe it's a smaller company and it might pay off in the long run, but you're not sure if you should take it. You need wisdom to make that decision. Some of you guys, maybe right now, you have a job on the table that would require you to move. And you need wisdom to make that decision. I got word a week and a half ago that somebody in my family has relapsed with leukemia for the fourth time. And they have tried everything. They've tried everything so far to the point now where it's like all there is available are these tests, and you got to hope that they're going to work, and there's three or four of them that are available. And he has to make the decision of which one he's going to do. There's not a right or wrong answer in that setting, but he needs wisdom. Who is wise and understanding among you? And I just want you to know that I could give you 52 other examples of big decisions that are not right or wrong, but that are right or left. See, it takes courage and integrity to make a right or wrong decision. It takes wisdom when you make right or left ones. And all of us, we want to make the best decision. We want to make the wise decision. How do we do that? What's the process through which we as believers in Christ are going to make a decision between one thing or another when we just can't decide? In our lives, we will face a gauntlet of tough, big decisions. So my question to you, just kind of on the front, is who is wise and understanding among you? Is there anybody in here that would raise their hand and go, I am 100% confident in making all those decisions. I'm ready. Give it to me right now. I don't think there's a whole lot of people that go, yeah, I've got all that I need. I think there's a general sense of like, I'd like to have more wisdom than I currently do right now. And then let me just ask you this. What are you going to do? Like when you have these big decisions in your life, are you going to go with your gut? Because I can't trust my gut. I mean, sometimes, but it's not always right. Are you going to go with your heart? Are you going to follow your heart? I think that's some of the worst advice that anybody could ever give you, is to follow your heart. Because the Bible says that your heart is deceitful above all things. So if you want to follow that, I guess have at it. Or would you like to have wisdom? Would you like to be filled with, Paul said it in Colossians. Nicole read it a few minutes ago. I didn't even know she was going to read that. Paul prayed for the Colossians that they would be filled with understanding and that they would gain wisdom that the Spirit gives, spiritual wisdom, an entirely different level of wisdom that believers in Jesus do not get. This is what is at hand today. And so I'm just going to make the assumption that everybody in the room today goes, you know what, yeah, I could take a little bit of wisdom. If you're not raising your hand, then you're maybe the furthest behind. I'm just saying, I think everybody's going, yeah, I could use a little bit of wisdom. And so I've titled today's message, Seeking Wisdom. That we, even as many of us are really younger, we're just really getting started in our lives. Maybe we would be described as people that are wise beyond our years because what God has done in our life. And those of you that are older in here, maybe you would be described as the wise people that us youngsters want to be like one day. That you would embody wisdom. That we could go to you when we need help making a decision. Can I pray for us for a minute and then we'll get into the scriptures? Lord, thank you for the people in the room. I am fired up to be in church today. It is good to be with my family, and I pray, God, that you would fill us with spiritual wisdom today and that we would leave here inspired to seek wisdom as we continue on in this life. God, would you fill us today? In Jesus' name, amen. Well, one of the things that James does as soon as he asks the question, he goes, hey, is there anybody wise and understanding among you? He gives us a test that is able to help us identify if we are wise or not. And in some ways, it's very sobering because if you read it, you're going to go, I'm not batting 1,000. I don't get an A+ on this test. But in other ways, it actually gives us a lot of confidence that as we grow in the areas that James wants us to grow in, we can be assured that we're growing in wisdom. So if you've got your Bibles, go to James chapter 3. I know I'm skipping forward but don't worry, I'll come back to James 1 here in just a minute. But in James chapter 3, in verse 13, he says, who is wise and understanding among you? And this is what he says, verse 13, let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. So what he's saying is there anybody wise? Well, we're going to be able to tell, not based on what you say, but we're going to be able to tell if you're wise based on how you live and what you do with the deeds that come from humility, the good life. And then he breaks down, he gives us a list of characteristics that would define us if we are not wise. Then he gives us a list of characteristics that would define us if we are wise. This is kind of the litmus test of our depth of wisdom and understanding in our lives. And so the first, in verse 14, he lays it out very clearly. He says, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom doesn't come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. So out of those verses, I pull out four characteristics that would define a person who is not living their life with wisdom. The first is that they're envious. They're an envious person. They have selfish ambition. They're boastful. And they deny the truth. This would be characteristics of a person who is not wise. And at first, when I read harbor bitter envy, I'm like, I don't know if I'm that bad. You know, like I'm a little jealous, but I don't know if I'm harboring bitter envy. It seems pretty deep. But if you think about it for a minute, I think all of us might not bat 1,000 in any of those categories. Let me just ask you a couple questions on each of those. Are any of you guys, do you feel like you're bitterly Are you bitter and envious towards anybody? And these would be some questions that would help you identify if you are. Number one, are you really mad at somebody right now? Are you withholding forgiveness from somebody right now? Are you frustrated that you're single and you want to be married? Because you're just envious of people that are married. When you get on Instagram and you go down, are you generally more celebratory with the pictures that you see or more critical of the pictures that you see? Because if you could just go down and you're just kind of critical and point out flaws in the pictures, you're just envious of something that you don't have. I think a lot of us are a lot more envious than we would care to admit. The second one is selfish ambition. Let me just ask you a few questions. Are you in your life right now, do you long to be noticed or liked or be popular in the circles that you run in? Do you see other people who are liked and more noticed and wish that you were them? Are you selfishly ambitious of attention? It's not wrong to get a raise at work. Getting a raise is great at work. How would you use it? What would be the motivating factor behind your desire for any raise? You get a dollar an hour increase. You get a $5,000 bonus at Christmas. How would you use it? And based on how you would use it, I can tell if you're selfishly ambitious or if you're not. Or the next one he says is, are you boastful? This one, you know, I'm not. I think at this stage in our life, not a ton of us are going around bragging about like our high school records, right? But I don't know about you, but I'll just be honest. When I went to college, I was fired up about what happened to my high school soccer team. And you know how I told people about it? I asked them about theirs, hoping that they would ask me back. Anybody ever do that? So how'd you guys do? I'll tell you how I did, you know? And I would do that all the time. And I just got to say, don't we do that sometimes? Don't we do that? Don't we feel inclined to share with others our credentials so that we might gain credibility in their life? We do that. It's subtle, but we do that. When you engage in a conversation, are you more interested or do you want to be interesting? When you walk into a room, are you the kind of person that says, there you are, or here I am? Here's a great one. Do you feel like in your life, right now, this is a true test of your boastfulness. Do you feel like right now in your life, I don't care how old you are, that you have more to share or more to learn? Because if you have more to share than you have to learn, I think you're mistaken. I think there's more to learn than we'll ever have to share. And that would, if you're like, I'm kind of later on in life and now I'm just gonna kind of give it all back to everybody. I've learned all that I'm gonna learn. That just is very boastful. And the last one that he says is they deny the truth. An unwise person would deny the truth. And as I thought about this and I prayed about this, I feel inclined to ask this question. Do you think that the problems that you have in your marriage are your spouse's fault? Do you think the problems you have in your home are just your kid's fault? Do you think the problem that you have at work is your boss's fault or your coworker's fault? I would suggest that you might be denying the truth and that you might be partly to blame. I don't know who I'm speaking to. I just felt like God wanted me to ask that question. That maybe you're humbly acknowledging the truth would be the wisest thing you've ever done for your marriage, for your kids, or for your job. And I told you week one, this is going to feel like a 10-week kick in the teeth, right? But James is just saying, if you're unwise, if you do not have wisdom, this is what your life will look like. And I assume that as I asked a couple of those questions, maybe it ticked a couple of boxes for you. Certainly did for me. It certainly did for me. I've studied this more than you have this week. I'm a little insecure about how I'm doing on this one so far. And then James says, but instead, these would be characteristics that would help you to know that you are growing in wisdom, that you are wise, that God has filled you with wisdom. It says in verse 17, it says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, and then peace-loving, and then considerate, and submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Let's just go through those and just talk about them just for a minute. This is what it would look like for you to be a wise person. If this would describe your life, you can trust that God is filling you with his wisdom. He says, first of all, it's pure. A wise person doesn't flirt with temptation. A wise person flees from it. They would do anything it takes to get away from sin. This is what wisdom looks like. A wise person would be peace-loving. They're not out to stir up controversy. They're not out to pour gas on a fire. When they type something into their computer, a wise person hits delete, not enter. You with me? You ever done that before? Where you write something, you go, I shouldn't say it. You hit it anyways. A wise person is a peacemaker, one that brings stability to a tense situation. And he says, a wise person is considerate. You look at the description of the character of Christ in Philippians chapter 2. It says, don't do anything out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Jesus was considerate. We're supposed to be considerate. We're supposed to think about other people before ourselves. A wise person doesn't have a mentality where I'm going to get mine first. A wise person thinks about other people first. In the next one, this is a hard one for me sometimes. A wise person is submissive. A wise person doesn't have to have a say. A wise person doesn't have to be in charge. A wise person can sit back and shut their mouth. A wise person can submit to godly leadership at home, in their church, in a group of accountability partners, whatever. There are situations where we as believers in Christ need to be submissive to leadership that God has put in front of us. That's what wisdom would do. A wise person is full of mercy and good fruit. So a wise person doesn't hold a grudge. A wise person doesn't withhold forgiveness. A wise person understands that by withholding forgiveness, you're essentially drinking poison and hoping that the other person gets sick. A wise person is full of mercy and grace because they know that they've received mercy and grace times a million on ourselves. A wise person is impartial, which means that a wise person doesn't just do things for people that can do things for them. A wise person doesn't show favoritism. A wise person does things for people, serves people, loves people that have no chance of returning the favor. This is what it looks like to be wise. And the last one is a wise person is sincere, meaning that they're not flaky. They're not always just careless. They're sincere. They care deeply. A wise person, when they text you and they say, praying for you, they actually pray for you. They're sincere about that. Maybe I'm the only person that's ever texted that and not prayed. Some of you guys too. This is wisdom, according to James. James says, who is wise and understanding among you? Here, let me give you a test. How you doing? Is anybody in here batting 1,000? Raise your hand. Okay, good. Is anybody here interested in gaining wisdom and embodying these characteristics? Raise your hand if you're with me. Come on. We're in this thing together. Good news is James doesn't stop here. James gives us some instructions on how to gain wisdom. Flip back a page or two to James chapter 1, verse 5. James chapter 1, verse 5. James lays out how to seek wisdom, how to gain wisdom so that we could say, yes, God has filled me with wisdom. He says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, that's me, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all that they do. A lot of times when I read scripture, I like to imagine the things that I think James was going to say, but he actually doesn't say. Like, for example, something that you've probably heard, but something that James doesn't say. He doesn't say, if any of you lacks wisdom, just hang on, don't worry, wisdom comes with age. It's not what James says, but that's something that we've all probably said. Or at least it's something that we think. But it's not true, because I know a lot of old people that aren't very wise, don't you? Don't you? I want to just share these next 3 minutes with respect and with humility, but I just got to be honest. I see a lot of old people, a lot of people that are way older than me who are not living with wisdom. You look back at that list, I know a lot of older people that are so envious. They're envious of other people's health. They're envious of other people's houses. They're envious of their own life 30 years ago. They're envious of the breaks that other people got, and they just love to tell you about that. It's not wise. Selfish ambition. I see a lot of old people who they use everything that they've gathered on themselves just to make themselves more comfortable. And they just hit the garage button and pull in and hit the garage button and walk into their house and watch TV, and they say, I'm done with relationships. These last 10 years are about me. I see that happening, don't you? You know who I'm talking about. And you look at boastful. I mean, I don't know of a lot of old people that are like bragging about their statistics, but I do know a lot of old people that think that they're right and won't change their minds. Don't you? They're just not even willing to budge at all. They're not even willing to learn at all. And I'm saying this out of respect. And honestly, I'm saying this out of almost like a warning to the young people in here that wisdom just doesn't come with age. This doesn't happen automatically. Age, it helps. Age is, experience helps. It matters, but it's not the determining factor. It's not what James says. James doesn't say, if any of you lack wisdom, hang on, it just comes with age. James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. But it's not an ask God and sit there and hope it happens. It's an ask God and seek wisdom. Because if you look at the whole of scripture, and if you look where, like all through the Bible, if you look at the word wisdom, if you Google the word wisdom, it's in there a bunch of times. And if you read the verses surrounding, you would understand that wisdom is something that we as Christians, is something that we're supposed to pursue. It's something that we're supposed to seek. And the simplest and best way I can describe this to you, it's if you equate wisdom with a fish, I know this is going to get weird, but if you equate wisdom with a fish, I guess you could sit there with a basket on your lap and say, God, give me a fish, and hope one magically appears. But I would suggest that you might have more luck if you went and got a fishing pole and went to a pond and threw a line in. You with me? You can try the first one. But I'm just saying, I think that if we use the tools and use the means through which God has given us to go and seek wisdom, I think that we're going to have more luck. It's almost like we go to the pond, and as we're walking there, we go, God, show me the good spot. Show me where they're biting, and when my line goes down in the water, would you hook something on there that I could reel in and apply to my life. This is kind of this, I'm going to seek it and I'm going to ask for it marriage that James and the rest of Scripture is talking about. The verses that we put up there earlier, I just want to read them to you again. This is Solomon, and he writes about wisdom, and he says, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding," and this is where, this, listen to this, "and if you call out for insight, if you cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it as silver," listen, "and search for it as hidden treasure." That's how bad we're supposed to seek wisdom. If I told you there was a pirate's chest full of silver in the creek at Creekside, you guys would all go get your swim trunks on and go look for it right after church. If it was there, you would totally do that. If it was worth millions of dollars, you're telling me you'd go out to eat instead of go look for that silver? You would go and look for it. This is the way Solomon is saying, this is how I want you to seek wisdom, like it's a hidden treasure. Like it's a hidden treasure. "Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding." James says to ask God for wisdom. And Solomon says that we're supposed to seek it like a treasure. It's this marriage between the two. And the means through which God has given us that we're supposed to employ so that we could become more wise, one of them is God's word. It's literally God's wisdom revealed on pieces of paper. It's unbelievable. We have it in our hands. There's a bunch of them back there, and if you want one, you can have one. I mean, God's word, his wisdom revealed to us is here. Another means through which God has given us, is giving us wisdom, that we can seek wisdom, is from people who are older than us and who have more experience than us, who have made the decisions that we have made. One of the first prayers that I ever prayed for this church was that God would bring people in this church that have more experience than I do. And he has. There's a bunch of them now. He has answered that prayer. And you guys got to know, if you are older and this, and you have joined this church, you just got to know that I have been praying for you and we need you. That you are the means through which some of us youngsters can gain some wisdom. We need you. Another way that you could seek wisdom is that you could memorize some of this. So that you could meditate on some of this, even as you don't have this in front of you. I know somebody in this church who's memorizing the entire book of James as we go through this book together. Is that awesome? And you go, "Oh, I could never memorize that much." Well, you memorized every state bird, so you probably could. Right? Man, I just love that he is seeking wisdom. But listen, here's where the whole kind of the last 2 or 3 minutes, you got to really understand this last point. You can listen to all the podcasts you want. You can watch all the YouTube videos you want. You can read as much as you want. You can listen to as much as you want. You can memorize as much as you want. But at some point, it's just head knowledge at first. You with me? It can just become head knowledge, and we can become puffed up in our own intelligence. Knowledge comes from study. Wisdom comes from the Holy Spirit of God. Knowledge comes from study. Wisdom comes from the Holy Spirit of God. Knowledge is how to shoot a gun. Wisdom is when to shoot a gun and when to leave it holstered. And so I encourage you, I challenge you to employ the means through which God has given you to seek wisdom. And as you're seeking wisdom, make sure that it's not just head knowledge and information coming in, but that God would transform it from knowledge to wisdom and understanding and perspective, so that you could face the gauntlet of decisions that's coming your way with a sense of peace and calmness and trust and wisdom in God. It really doesn't matter how old you are. There are more tough decisions coming about your kids, about your parents, about your jobs, about your lives. How are you going to make those? Seek wisdom. Ask God that as you gain information, that it wouldn't become just information, but it become wisdom. Let me just close with this. If you're a Christian in here, if you've given your life to Jesus, if that is something that you have done in your life before this point, let me just ask this question. Is there a decision that you're facing right now that you need some wisdom for? You need some clarity. You need to hear God's voice in your life. I want to give you a few minutes, and I want you to do exactly what James says. If you lack wisdom, ask God. One of my favorite theologians and authors took the original Greek letter that James wrote, and he interpreted it this way. James 1, verse 5. If you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. I love that. It's so simple. If you lack wisdom, ask God. He gives generously to all without finding fault. And believe it. I'm going to give you a few minutes to ask God to illuminate the truth in your life. And if you're not a Christian, if up to this point this is still something that you are exploring, let me just ask you this question. And let me just explain this to you, that for those of us that believe in Christ, when we go before God, when we pray for wisdom, we are trusting that the Holy Spirit of God is going to give it to us. The Holy Spirit of God that resides in us when we put our faith in Jesus. And so if you've never put your faith in Jesus, you don't have the Holy Spirit inside of you to give you wisdom. And so maybe you put the other decisions that you have that you brought in here, maybe you put those on hold, and maybe the decision that you make this morning is just to give your life to Jesus, to get right with God, and to be filled with the Holy Spirit that will then give you wisdom for the rest of your life. Maybe that's the decision that you need to make today. Our prayer team's going to come up as they always do. They're eager to pray with you. We're going to give you maybe 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. We're going to play some music so that you're not distracted by anything else. And I want you to ask God for wisdom for the decision that you're making today. And if you want somebody to pray with or talk with, our prayer team is here. We would be eager and we would love to pray with you as you seek wisdom for the next couple minutes.
Thanks for listening to the Three Creeks Church podcast. To find out more about our church, attend a worship service, or to give online, visit threecreekschurch.com.